King David was told, "Lord has blessed Obed-Edom's family and everything he owns because of the Ark of God, God's chest being there." So David went and brought up God's chest from Obed-Edom's house to David's city with celebration. Whenever those bearing the chest advanced 6 steps, David sacrificed an ox and a fatling calf. David dressed in a linen priestly vest, danced with all his strength before Lord. La 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 la. This is how David and the entire house of Israel brought up Lord's chest with shouts and trumpet blasts. King David bared himself before Lord wearing only a linen ephod, a priestly vest, and danced with all his strength. King David and the entire house of Israel brought the Ark of the Covenant, God's chest, into Jerusalem, the city of David, with total celebration. Do you celebrate your faith? Do you feel safe enough here? Do you trust your fellow congregants here enough to bring your whole self here and truly celebrate your faith? To expose yourself by proclaiming your faith. It can be a risky thing, you know. This story of David, it doesn't end with the Ark entering Jerusalem, no. As David and the Ark enter Jerusalem, Michal, David's wife and Saul's daughter, is watching from a window, and she is disgusted by David's display. After the ark is installed, burnt offerings made, and the people fed with bread and raisin cakes, we'll do that in coffee hour. They return home, and David returns home to bless his own household. Let's pick up the story again at verse 20. David went home to bless his household, but Saul's daughter Michal came out to meet him. "How did Israel's king honor himself today?" she said. "By exposing himself in plain view of the female servants of his subjects, like any indecent person would." David replied to Michal, "I was celebrating before Lord, who chose me over your father and his entire family, and who appointed me leader over Lord's people, over Israel, and I will celebrate before Lord again. I may humiliate myself even more, and I may be humbled in my own eyes, but I will be honored by the female servants you are talking about." Michal mocked David's display of faith, but David doubled down. "I may humiliate myself even more." A bold statement. Of course, David was the king, and as Mel Brooks has taught us, it's good to be the king. Most of us don't have that kind of power. And I would hope that here, at least, you would not be ridiculed for being bold in your faith. So do you feel safe enough here to proclaim your faith? Well, let's try something. I'd like you to consider your own theology, your personal theology. Now, we're all you use here, but I'm not asking about your identity. I'm asking you to consider what you personally believe. This isn't about labels or being hyphenated you use or not, just about what you believe. After all, we draw from six sources of faith. I'm going to go a little finer than the six sources. I'm going to parse that out a little more. But we draw from six sources. I'm going to ask you to consider which source speaks to you most loudly. Well, even finer than that. But what really speaks to you? And I'm going to tell you up front that agnostic isn't going to be an option, because that's about the strength of your belief. So if you're agnostic, for the purposes of this exercise, you're going to have to choose what it is that you're agnostic about. Okay. And since we're talking about dancing, I'm going to ask you to get up and move around a bit. Not tricky dance steps. I'm just going to ask you to move to different places around the sanctuary. Are you, as you're able? Are you ready? Now, okay, now wait, when I've done this before, and you did really well, by the way, with the body prayer, you were so good at being silent for this is the best congregation ever that has done that, I have to tell you. You were so respectful of each other. So I know you can do this, but when I've done this before, this is what's happened. Afterwards, people come up to me and say, well, I didn't choose anything because I'm just a UU. Yes, I know you're a UU, but I'm asking you what theology speaks to you the loudest. It's not about a label. And some people say, well, you know, but I believe a bunch of different things. And that's, I get that. What speaks to you the loudest, okay? So if you're a bunch of different, if you're a little bit of that and a little bit of this, you know, maybe stand partway in between, but what speaks to you the loudest, okay? So if you're an atheist, you believe there is no God, no force, nothing beyond the laws of nature and science, come stand over here by the heater. And you can move later if I say something and you're, oh no, I'm really that, that's fine. If you're a religious humanist, this is your primary theology, that your faith is in humanity. Go move next to, over a little more toward, over there. If you're a mystic, you believe that there's something out there, you don't know what it is, you can't name it, some sort of life force, go in between those next two windows over there. If you're a follower of any of the Dharmic traditions, so Buddhism, Sikhism, Hinduism, Jainism, some people would include Zoroastrianism, go under the doors in the back there. If you are more following the Taoic theologies, the flow, and that includes the Star Wars, the Jedi. No, really, the Jedi is essentially Taoism. So go right in the middle back there, if you're more in the Taoic theologies. If you're more neo-pagan or earth-centered, go under the purple framed picture, the welcoming congregation sign in the back. If you're a deist, the clockmaker God who created the universe and then left us alone, go in that corner back there. And if you are any sort of theist, any of the monotheistic traditions, Christian, Jewish, Muslim, or just generally theistic, go over by the stairs. Okay, so we have atheists, humanists, mystics. I have the Dharmic traditions after the mystics, right? And then the Taoists. If you're literally between there and there, that's good. Okay, the Taoists, neo-pagans, and earth-centered, deists, and theists. So what I want you to do before you return to your regularly scheduled seats is to Okay. This should fit into all of the six sources and yeah, this should so wherever you this is pretty much all of the six sources so wherever you fit most but I just want you to take a look around now and see this huge variety that we have here, right? Look at how widespread we are. And what a beautiful thing that is it not? Please return to your you may sit down unless you really want to stand against the walls for the rest of the service. I hope that you're able to see. I hope that you're able to be your full self here to fully celebrate your theology. And as you've just seen, we have a lot of different theologies under our UU umbrella. So how do we do this? How do we manage to celebrate, to hold up, to affirm all these different theologies? Well, we do a dance together. I don't know if anyone here likes ballroom dancing. Okay, I love it. I love it, right? I love all sorts of dancing, actually, but I do love some good ballroom dancing. If you've ever been to a proper ballroom dance, you'll know there are some rules. You can't just go willy-nilly anywhere you want around the dance floor. There's a flow. Dancers move around the floor in a counterclockwise pattern. Everyone moves in the same direction. Well, that's sort of like the third principle, acceptance of one another and encouragement to spiritual growth. We're all on a path, not necessarily the same one, and not necessarily at the same speed, but we're all more moving toward spiritual growth, so generally in the same direction. So we should be able to avoid stepping on each other's toes. On the dance floor, the partner who's leading is responsible for watching where you're going. After all, one partner is dancing backwards. That's okay, because your partner has your back. Well, we all know we have each other's backs here. We can look out for each other in church. On the dance floor, we have to make accommodations for other dancers. It's not all about solos. In fact, unless it's a performance, going to a dance is not at all about solos. So we make space for other dancers on the dance floor. In church, we make space for each other. That means that sometimes we have to translate into our own theological language. An atheist hears a Buddhist message and takes what she can from that to apply it to her own understanding. A Christian hears a humanist message and understands God to be in the message, even if God wasn't mentioned specifically. A Buddhist hears a Bible passage and considers how it might fit into the Eightfold Path. But what of the times when there's something we just don't like? Does that ever happen? Oh, yes. We sing a hymn that you really don't like at all. Or a sermon didn't resonate with you. Or you just didn't get the reading at all. In those times, we're also making room for other dancers. A minister who is wiser than I once said that we ought to be willing to be uncomfortable in worship 20% of the time in order to make space for others to be more comfortable. So in that spirit, I have a confession to make to you. I understand you're rather fond of the hymn, "Let It Be a Dance." Is that right? Yes. We're going to sing it today, and I trust you, so I'm going to tell you this. I really don't like that hymn at all. I just don't. I have no theological quarrel with it. It's not a question of my thinking that it's not a hymn we should be singing. I just don't like it. But worship isn't about only what I like. Worship is about all of us coming together to support each other on our spiritual journeys, to be challenged, to be encouraged, to be comforted, to be called to act. For example, to come and be counted at the Voice Action this afternoon, where we can join in the dance with people from many faith traditions. That will also help us to grow together, another reason for worshiping together. So today we will sing a hymn that I personally don't care for. But you love it, and it fits the service, so it's the right hymn to sing. And we will continue to dance together. In what other ways do we do this dance together? Have you been encouraged in your spiritual growth? How have you been encouraged in your spiritual growth? How have you encouraged others? David danced with all his strength before the Lord. Let us celebrate our faith together. My dance card is open. Are you ready? Are you ready?
Yes,
Namaste.